something tonight. Those are pretty much be heard. Well, it should be a Wednesday evening call. But I don't want to get distracted by these schools in the end. What about being a team player? And there's plenty of comparison between being a team player to the brotherhood expression in the New Testament. Henry Ford, who invented the automobile, once said, everyone is moving forward, then success will take care of itself. So, let's move forward together, and success will take care of itself. That's important. Now, question whether I should be the quote as it comes to who the man is. Well, Michael Jordan once said, he was an extremely talented basketball player. There was, he still owns the point of player in all of basketball. He says this, talent wins games, but teamwork wins championship. So, today we have individual talents and we're thankful for that, but some of us, like me, we like to get a team where somebody else can show their talent and help us win. So, today, I look forward to you helping me win. I'm one of those all the players that need some talent. Needs you to win. Let's go to Ephesians 4. We can very probably read all of Ephesians 4. And it's a very well-known passage of scripture. When we come to church building, Ephesians 4 is probably talked about in Bungie. Ephesians 2 and some of the other passages. But all prayers, just read the first three verses of Ephesians 4 and then jump down to verse 11. Verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the nation wherein you are called, with all holiness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity in your ones is the attitude that we should have to be a team player. We need to have loneliness of mind, meekness, long suffering, preparing one another, and that's the end result is that we keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Philippians 7. Very much the same, that we are to esteem each other better than themselves. So there is a very special principle that we could talk about a long time. Verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of some God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, they go all unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now let's jump down to the last couple of verses that I think we'll start at verse 29. Let no more communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearer. Breathe out the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's a lot I could think about in the what I've read, and a lot of anything that's important to you. But I don't want to take a lot of time this morning. We're blessed to be here this morning. But number one point in the message this morning is play for your team. Play for your team and be sure you know what the objective of your game is. That's pretty important. You young fellows that like to play football, you like to get it across that far goal line, right? That's the objective. And when you're playing softball, you want to get more runs than the other team gets. Know what your objective is in this brotherhood. You know, the question I needed to get too much into sports and so forth, but are you just wearing the uniform? Or are you passionate about winning this game? Are you just wearing the uniform? Our chorus went to Elkton Prison, which is down the road from our church, about 20 miles, and there's a federal penitentiary. And we went to the federal penitentiary, and they get a lot of important people in there. A long time we went in there, and this man named Arch Sleeker was in there. And he was a professional quarterback. And he was very talented. But he was in there because he was far off. Then somebody came to him and said, if you let this other team win, why, we'll give you so much money. And so he secured a big amount of money. And he took the money. And therefore, he was set in jail. He was just wearing the uniform of the Baltimore Colts. That's the team he played for. He was just wearing the uniform when he was not real. Play for your team. Be sure you know what the objective of the game is. That's to win. That's to represent Jesus. You are not, the church is set up by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means that he needed Stan Beaver, he needed Al Leister, he needed Curtis, he needed Ken, he needed them all to win. That's pretty important. It's very important. You understand the objective. I will build my church. And that's some reason God has built the church with people. God does use people. And it's people with last names like Weaver and Martin and Deemer and Cortez and so forth. He uses people. And it's people that get up and eat breakfast and drink coffee. And it's people that make mistakes. But he uses people. The first principle in team play is commitment. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is very strong. Commitment. Are you committed to this church? That is one of the rubber meets the road at Pine Creek. You do what Pine Creek does. You witness what Pine Creek witnesses. Pretty much that way. Of course, you do it at a personal level, but in a lot of ways, the church, in effect, is church-like. The church is central. The brotherhood is important. And today I urge you to be committed to
not only the broader church,
but the time period.
Jump right in there. All of you that have just been taken in,
jump right in there. And the goodness of you have been here for a while, make the sense that too. If you show up for the practice,
you know, I think it's very important that you show up.
Wednesday night. Horace practice. All of us can do so.
You show up.
God has planned the church. It's to save men and to save the communities around us. Be certain about your team's objectives. Be 100% committed to that. Represent Pine Creek in this community realm. You know, the objectives is so important. It's so important. We have an objective that we are linked to. We want to get across the goal line. It's important. A lot of Christians say they are committed to Christ. But they listen to the music of the opponent. Can I say that? Yeah, change music. They take their opponent's advice in business. They play his game. They even wear his clothes. They're one of the uniforms of the world. And they listen regularly to his podcast. How can you claim to be certain about your objectives and doing all those things? You need to be sure about your team's objectives. And what team you are playing for when up there are on. Or you know what? All we did to the church is going to be as a guardian. That means sleeping. That means sleeping. No, you don't have to go to church tonight. You know, if you're not at church, it should be, Caden wasn't at church this morning, but where he was, he's always there. Teamwork begins by building trust in each other's commitment. We need each other. We need each other. When we are part of the team that are God and church, the brothers and hearts and loves and not the church, we are going to be vulnerable for being vulnerable to the deceiver. The other are our own. We're going to be vulnerable. Just be sure about that. Because like our album said, supporting suffering is part of the deal of being a Christian. And it surely is. The deceiver dwell, make us suffer through temptations of so-called. We need to learn the personal preference and unite with team effort. In the early days of the revival of the fellowship movement of which I was a part, there were men who were prophets. And they could make decisions about the future of the church, and they saw that the church was going the wrong way. They called it Bob here in those days, come here. They were making decisions in the church about divorce and remarriage that were not healthy, and they saw clearly that they should take a stand. And so they did. They were more decision makers. And we need those kind of people. But many of those same men thought it really wanted to be a team player when they got into the real church college. Because it was so intense and so sad on their personal agenda. And I thought, I mean, it's not a lot about it, but be a team player. It's important. We need the problem. We need the prophets. Don't be ashamed to be a prophet and say, well, we're not going to see. Secondly, understand your role on the team. Understand your role on the team. I wasn't sure what to say there, but understand your role on the team. Not all of us are. Not all of us are Greek. Not all of us are the Sunday school. Some of us are the janitors. Some of us are the trustees. Some of us are on the school board. And accept the fact that the Brotherhood is going to place you in your role. This morning we heard that Ken is going to be a minister here. He needs to accept that role of being minister. He is called to preach the word of God. Others of us are called to clean the bathroom. And we need to accept our role. Understand your role on the team. You know what it does? I found this very interesting. That the different roles blend together. And in verse 13, the first four words are, till we all come. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto perfect man. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It all works together. Janitors, preachers, trustees, school board members. And I want to throw this in as my advice to anybody that's on a committee. When you're on a committee, I feel passionate. And it's very simple. But I see it being violated a lot. When you're not bidding, when you're asked to speak, say what you claim. Say what you share. Models are intimidating. They can say, well, you're just school board, sitting at a school board meeting or a minister meeting, and no one talks, which I've been in many of them already, they won't say anything. Well, how are we supposed to know? You have a role on the team and you're supposed to say it. Of course, you need to say, no. Need to say, okay, that's the decision, even if the decision was the field trip's going to be on a different day than what you know. It's important. Moving on. Value the contribution of other team members. Mother Teresa said this, none of us, including me, can do great things. Well, we can all do small things. And together, we can do something wonderful. That's a great point. That's what it is. Yeah, you can't do everything. You can do a little bit. When he comes to church and blends it with everybody else, he can do great things. And together, we are going to do great things. Wonderful things. But you know what? The church had a bigger plan than that.
It's going to finally triumph
of all the was that means the contribution of other team members. Root for others to accomplish more than you can do it, better than you. There is certainly someone that can have a better devotions than I can. There is certainly someone that can teach Sunday school better than I can. There's certainly someone that can preach better than I can. Root for them. That's the cause of the kingdom. It's much higher. Laws. Value the contribution of another church member. They're better song leaders than me. You know, accept that. Accept that. That
fall of self. Need to crucify self and be humble. Those things. Maybe that doesn't happen in Pennsylvania at Pine Creek, those thoughts. But it does. Now, why are people involved? I have to think we're close enough for good. Maybe that's the way it is.
Importantly, take responsibility for your errors. Take responsibility for your errors. You ever hear three words, very important? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Very important to make into the relationship. Take responsibility for therapy. You know, the higher you go up the administrative chain, the more your responsibility you're entrusted with, and the bad part about it is the more prominent your errors. When Curtis makes an error as a deacon, so stuff, your janitor and kind of make a problem in the bathroom, and then you can hate that. But Curtis makes a mistake, Randy makes a mistake. It's sort of a big deal.
Not being.
And it goes up to division. That makes sense. You know, fortunately, the problem on these schools, you know, you're the bishop or the church, you let the pastor go on and hang because you're a problem. So, take responsibility for your errors. And we leaders, administrators, it's always a question whether we should have, whether we should have the problem. You know, we like to let our people, let the school board work out their own problems, and we like to just stay out of it. And it's important that we do. But we need to be very receptive on that and step in when we need to step in. Number five, humble team players will welcome being held accountable. Humble team players will welcome being held accountable. In verse 15, and I think it's such a special verse, where it says, speaking the truth in love, they grow up in him in all things which is ahead. When we see a problem in the church, what do we do about it? That's the question. What do we do about a problem we see in the church? Well, I'll tell you what this verse said, what I believe. Speak the truth. Tell someone the truth. Ask them what's going on. We need to do that in every aspect of church life. We hear that when someone is not obeying a music thing or whatever, go to that person
rather than get on your WhatsApp, go to that person and say, hey, what is true? What is true? Are you listening to contemporary music? So forth. You gotta learn to find out in the spirit of love. You know what that does? It helps people grow up. Grow up. In all things. They grow up, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things. And dear brethren, today it's because you talk to him. That's all the way it is. Do that. Do that. Speak the truth in love. I think we all have enough humanity if we understand each other's problem. If we're honest with ourselves. We know that we're prone to make mistakes. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And I'm going to tell you, brother, that to bring people back to the truth is an honest conversation of holding people accountable. That's often the way it works. You have an important role in your brother's success. Be the good in love. That's exactly what the truth is. And do it in love. Finally, be edifying with your attitude and demeanor. Be edifying with your attitude and demeanor. You know, we talk. We say one thing of how we talk. We say, okay, you know, we talk. But then sometimes we say, yeah, you're okay. Look at our family. In your body, people will be close to me. What speaks the loudest makes you sick or how you act? Huh? Somebody who ventured a yes? I would say it's how you act. Said more than we said. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. For that which is good to the use of us by minister grace to the ears, that's a condition of study. But verse 31. Let all bitterness. You know what that means? Poison. Bitterness. Getting on your WhatsApp. Getting on your phone. Going up to somebody's side at church. And you didn't hear something but so-and-so did. That's poison. And it will destroy the brain. I would say that. It will be scored from beers. I'm sure you know what bitter is. Bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speak, be put away from you with all malice. Naughtiness, and be kind one to another, tender hearted to one another, in trust for Christ's sake. One of the things that will tear down the deep spirit and fine creek is this me first attitude. My
opinion is the most important. And if I don't get my way, get that. It'll tear it out. Church, and it's serious that we are a team that we want the modern energy. We have a passion. We have a passion for our team. So many things that we but love the brotherhood, Peter said. And in this chapter here in Ephesians 4, says verse 16, the whole body fitly joined together. Compacted by that which every joint supply, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase in the body unto us under the edifying of ourselves. And we are to work together. Fitly joined. A carpenter knows how to fitly join together pieces of furniture. I'm not so much that way. My carpentry talents are pretty much with a steel chainsaw and a 4x8 sheet of wood. It's about the other thing. Well, the carpenters know how to fitly join. And Jesus, in setting up the church, he fitly joined us all together to be a benefit to each other. Chapter 1 says, my burden, my favorite, my spirit.